Hey everyone, my name's Nick Brandt. I'm one of the senior leaders here at Circa Riders. I want to welcome you to the Circa Rider podcast. If you don't know us, we're a YWAM missional community based here in Huntington Beach, California. Our passion is Jesus. Our mission field is our generation, and we believe our opportunity is now. I want to sincerely thank you for being a part of our broader community. Enjoy this podcast.
Are we ready? Okay, hey, do me a favor. Grab your Bible. We're going to jump right in. Such an honor to be with you. And if I've never met you, I'd love to meet you. For those who are not part of our staff, but you're part of our Monday night family, I just want to tell you, we love you. We love these nights. They're so refreshing for us. We don't take it for granted. So thank you for coming and worshiping with us. And yeah, we love you. So we're going to dive in. This is, I believe, week number 5. In a series called Who Are You Running With? It's a series on biblical friendship. I believe it's 5. Is that right, Zach? And this will be the last week, so I'm gonna polish it off here. You guys ready to go deep? Okay, so we've been talking about friendship. I want to say that we're going to kind of go up the mountain tonight. There's a lot that can be said about friendship. If you've not been tracking with us, you need to go back and watch the series because there's so much that could be said that I won't be able to say. So go back and watch the series. But here we go. Tonight, the title is Friendships That Change History. Friendships That Change History. So I want to dive in. Grab your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 14, and kind of hold your finger there. In a moment, we're going to get to that. But I kind of want to open up tonight by just speaking to what I believe, is kind of something we all have in common. As long as I've been around, as long as I've been doing ministry, these next couple of themes are something that I hear almost on a daily basis. And I hear it from all kinds of people, all kinds of walks of life. But it's something that we honestly don't talk a lot about. And yet the older I get, I go, oh, we're all the same in a couple of ways. So number one, I want to say this. We all have this deep longing for a special kind of friendship. And in the next few minutes, I'm going to define what I mean by that. Not any kind of friendship, but what I kind of call legacy friendship. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that. But in simplicity, I just mean legacy, that there are special friendships that God gifts us in the kingdom that truly, when you lock in together, you will have an opportunity to be a part of something that can change your generation and change history. In other words, that friendship becomes a gateway for you to be a part of something that will far outlive your life. And that's why I call it legacy friendship. So I'm going to use that term tonight. And as you hear it, I just want you to know, what does Matt mean by that? That just means you are going to have opportunities in your life, that's a key word tonight, opportunities, to move into a level of friendship that will give you access to being partnering with God in the kingdom in a way that honestly you'll never be able to touch on your own. And one of the things I've been preparing over the last few weeks, and it's a silly phrase, but it's just stuck in my heart, is that destiny is not a me question, destiny is a we question. And the problem is that I hear so much teaching on destiny, and I'm going to get into that in a moment. You all have a destiny. I wish we had an hour. We would talk about your destiny, but that's not what tonight's about. There are aspects of your destiny that by God's design, you cannot access on your own. And God makes it that way. But here's the problem is every time we teach on destiny, it's always about you. It's always about me. I don't know if you can relate to that. But as a young people, we're always saying, what's my destiny? Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? Who am I? It's these I questions. You're not in trouble for that. Those are good questions. God writes those on your heart. But I'm just saying, I'm looking for a generation that's going to say, who are we? Why are we here? And what are we supposed to do? And as long as your life is spent in the I and the me, there are elements of your destiny that you're locked out of because those parts of your destiny are designed by God for a we and an us. And that's legacy friendship that I want to go after tonight. As I walk with young people and even in my life, there are two kind of, I call them prototypes, okay, of friendship that come up all the time, and you'll know them right away. But to me, these are like the epitome of legacy friendship. The first is David and Jonathan. Can I get an amen? Amen. all the time I'll meet with young people and they'll just be like, man, I got to tell you something. I'll say, what is it? They whisper because they're looking around. They'll say, I'm longing for a David and Jonathan type of friendship in my life. Maybe that's just the men. Ladies, a lot of times I will hear this, or I think this is kind of, you know, another type of that legacy friendship. But for me, I get so moved by it. I wish we had an hour I'd teach on it. But a Ruth and a Naomi. And I want to look at these for just a second. We're not teaching on them tonight, but I just want you to capture. Why do I want you to capture this? I'm telling you, there's not one person in the room. There's not one person in the generation that does not want this. It's written in your heart to have this kind of friendship. You don't have to go there. But there's a passage in 1 Samuel 18. Don't go there. Stay in 14. But it describes kind of an attribute of this David and Jonathan. And to me, when I think of David and Jonathan, I think of strength. I think of unity and agreement. I think of they wanted the same thing. But probably the most compelling part of David and Jonathan was this self-sacrificial love. I mean, how many of you have ever been moved? And if you're honest, you go, I know David's kind of the hero. He becomes king. But who's ever looked at a Jonathan and gone, man, I want to have a friend like that, who would joyfully and willingly give up their rightful inheritance and say, I see God on you. And not only am I giving it to you, but it's my joy to push you into that. And all the time, young men will come to me and go, Matt, I want this Jonathan, David type friendship. And we all long for that. And then in 1 Samuel 18, there's this line that says, Jonathan loved David as himself. How many of you know in the New Testament it tells us that to love your neighbor as you love yourself? And in this friendship, we see this God quality. It's like a legacy friendship. In other words, what I'm saying is without a Jonathan, there is no David. And it's the friendship that literally saves David's life on number of occasions. It wasn't just a feel-good thing. It wasn't just that Jonathan was like, hey, let me help you overcome your insecurities. No, Jonathan's literally contending, saving David's life, ready to take the heat. How many of you in this room go, man, I have a longing deep in my heart. I want a Jonathan David type friendship in my life. Raise a hand if that's something you've longed for. Yeah. I want to look at this, and you can go there if you want, but you don't have to. Ruth and Naomi, such a powerful story, but I was just reading it before I came here, and I want to read a passage. Again, I wish we could teach on this. Such a compelling story. They're unique because it's really a mother and a daughter-in-law, or a daughter-mother-in-law, but they go through crisis, they go through tragedy and loss, and there's a choice moment. We're just warming up. You guys with me right now? There's this choice. Because the mother-in-law says to Ruth, hey, go your own way. My son has died. My husband has died. I'll go my way. And there's this moment to me, this legacy friendship is born when she kind of gives her the out. The mother-in-law says, you can go your own way. God will take care of you. And Ruth presses in as the daughter-in-law and says, no, absolutely not. I'm not letting you go. And I want to read this just because I think the language is so moving and powerful. And I think this speaks to our heart. It's what we're all longing for in friendship. This is in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. It says this, but Ruth replied, do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her to go. Okay, and now you might be going like, man, that's an incredible declaration of commitment and loyalty. But you might be going, how did that change history? Well, if you don't know the Bible story, Ruth goes on under Naomi's counsel to marry a kinsman redeemer named Boaz. Never heard of Boaz. Ruth and Boaz, their great grandson is King David. So I want to ask you this. If you have no Ruth who presses in with Naomi and says, I won't leave you. I'm sticking with you. I'll go where you go. Where you are, there I will be. Your God is my God. If you don't have that friendship, you have no King David. So I'm asking you, do you have common friendships that are built on convenience? Or do you have friendships that are contending for something bigger than even your own life? Are you pressing in on your friendships because you believe, no, I don't know what it is, but there's something on our friendship that has eternal significance, and we're going to be given opportunity to go our separate ways. But in those moments, we're going to have such a deep commitment and loyalty to one another, because we're not really fighting even for ourselves. We're not even fighting for our own good. We're fighting for something bigger. And what I really believe is when I'm with people and in my own life, all of us have that longing for these legacy type friendships in our life. Here's an interesting thing. Again, as I pastor, as I lead, again, everyone shares that. And here's the other thing that we all have in common. In the midst of that, people also will always say this to me, Matt, I feel surrounded by people that are amazing, and yet I feel deeply alone. How many of you have ever had a moment where you go, I'm surrounded by great people, and yet I don't really feel known? I don't really feel seen. I don't really feel heard. And you know it's not even what's wrong with them. There's a disconnect at a heart level. Can I just be bold? Can I see a show of hands? Who's ever had that moment where you don't even want to say it? You know your friends are amazing. You're kind of like, it's not you, it's me. But there's a disconnect. I'm surrounded by so many and yet deeply alone. Why is this? I want to just talk for a minute. Why do we all carry these things? I'm going to give you three reasons. Number one, I believe that God has designed us for what I call legacy friendships. These are friendships that are designed by God to change nations and generations. And in a minute, I'm going to give you another biblical example. In other words, they have an eternal purpose. Number two, why we carry this angst or this longing, okay, is this. And I've talked about this a minute ago, but I want to hit it again. Everybody in this room has a divine destiny. All of you are carrying something of such eternal significance on an individual level. However, I believe that God designs parts of your destiny that are linked sovereignly to other people. It's a funny illustration, but it's like having a two-part key that unlocks a door. You've got one. I'm not trying to be cheesy. I'm saying I really think in the kingdom there are aspects of your destiny that you can knock all you want on that door. And until you're walking in with that legacy friend, the Lord goes, you're just not able to get in that door because it's going to take not one of you, but two of you or more. Why do I think God designs it that way? I believe God does that so that at the deepest part of our life, we learn to value who we get to go into our destiny with, not what I get to do. But I want to be honest with you, especially in my younger years, I was so intoxicated with Christian ambition, and it's good to have godly ambition, but my whole life began to revolve around me and what God was going to do in me, for me, through me. And to be totally honest with you, I was talking exactly like the world. There was no value for anybody else unless I felt they could do something to get me into my calling. And that came to a real end in a dramatic way. And I remember God confronting me and asking me, Matt, are the friends in your life a means to an end, or are your friends the end? Are your friends the destiny? And that was a real moment in my life where I went, oh my goodness, for 10 years, my destiny, my calling, my anointing, my inheritance, my mantle. And these are all good ideas. Focused, and all of a sudden I become more tormented, not more in joy. And that torment's rooted in the intense self-focus of that. And I remember that when that came to a Christian, I said, Matt, you've always needed an activity to do to feel fulfilled. But what about the people with whom you're doing it with? Aren't they incredible? And that was a world-shifting moment for me to go, oh, the destiny was never about the activity that I was going to do. The destiny is about the people who were called to do it with. And number three, I also believe our spirit knows deep down. You guys cool if I'm telling you the truth tonight? I think I wouldn't have had language at this at 18 or 19. But I have a clearer picture of it now, and I'm still growing in it. I think that our spirit knows deep down that our very survival depends on legacy friendship. That it's not about feeling good. Friendships that are legacy friendships are not designed by God to be therapeutic. yes, you will feel better, but that's not the divine purpose of the friendship. God doesn't put Davids and Jonathans and Ruth and Naomis in your life to help you overcome your insecurity alone. He has a much greater purpose. And I think so much of the purpose of legacy friendships is literally, we know I can't make it without you. I'm literally dead. I know me, I know my decision-making capabilities, and I'm going to make 10 bad decisions in the next 5 minutes without those legacy friends to keep me going. Here's the reality. These kinds of friendships are available to all of us because it's a kingdom reality, and yet they're rarely experienced. Why is that? Because most friendships are built on comfort, convenience, and personal dreams. You guys cool if I tell you a couple stories? These are going to be personal stories. I want to say this, that I think that there's a couple groups in the room tonight. Number one, I think we've got a lot of young people, and I'm going to speak to you here in just a moment. And I'm going to just, I want to share a brief story of kind of a first, I didn't realize it at the moment, but kind of a first legacy friendship moment. When I was barely 18 years old, I had joined the military right out of high school. I grew up in Florida, and I was moved to Washington State. So 3,000 miles away from home, I was alone, afraid, and just absolutely, totally on the edge of barely hanging on. All I knew was this. I suddenly realized, I had a real realization at 18, man, I'm hanging on to my faith by a thread. And that's not dramatic. That's real. In fact, the last couple weeks, I've been rethinking some of these stories. And I have moments come back that I literally cringed about, and I felt the fear of the Lord. I came so close a number of times to just absolutely walking away from my faith. It was so close. I feel even the fear of God as I say that. And at the same time, I had this realization where I go, if I don't find some real Christian friends, I am dead. Has anyone ever had a moment where you go like, man, if I don't find some real Christian friends, there is no hope. And so I had a friend go, hey, you should try this church service on a Saturday night. I was afraid, timid, insecure. I wouldn't talk to anybody. These are all true stories. So I go to this. It was a room much like this, a little bit smaller, but a big room. I think there were about 30 kids. And it was a Bible study, a Saturday night Bible study. All I can tell you is this. I had never felt the presence of God in my whole life, true statement. And that night when I walked in, I go, I think I feel God in this place. And it was just young people. And I remembered, I was amazed. I had this feeling, maybe like you do when you walk in here. I literally thought there are no Christians in the Pacific Northwest, which is a lie, but I was just feeling alone. And I went in the room and went, oh my goodness. There are people who love Jesus. I wish I had good words to describe the emotion, but I remember in that moment feeling like, I think I can make it if I can just become friends with these people. So I sat in the back, afraid and insecure, and there was a guy teaching. He became my spiritual father, one of my heroes, Brian Brent, who's the founder of our movement. He's gone on to be with the Lord. I didn't know Brian. I didn't know anybody. I don't know what possessed me, but I just knew that night, if I leave and I don't make a friend, I'm dead. And so he ended. I stood up and I walked straight to the front. I'd never done this in my whole life. And I just stuck my hand out. He was standing awkwardly looking at me. And I said, my name's Matt Nelson. I don't know anybody and I have no friends and I don't know what to do. And it was more awkward than even I'm making it look right now. But you know what? I didn't care because I knew my life depends on friends and not any friends. By the way, in the military, there were all kinds of friendship groups available to me. But I just knew, I go, if I don't find the right kinds of friends, it's over. And I felt God's spirit then. I didn't have language, but I knew I've got to get locked on. So I'm awkwardly standing there. Brian goes, come with me. Takes me over and introduces me to a guy named Aaron Barker, who was the worship leader. And Aaron became one of my first friends, became one of my first mentors. And Aaron just said to me, he goes, hey, why don't you come play basketball with a group of us tonight? Now, I hate basketball, never played basketball ever. But I was like, okay, I will go right now. So I went out with a group of guys that night and played basketball. And I remember I got in my car to leave and I told the Lord, I go, I think I found my people. Maybe I can make it. And I didn't have a car, so a couple weeks later, I got a car, and I drove right back to that church that Saturday night, walked right back in. I walked right up to Aaron Barker and Brian, and I said, "You probably don't remember me. My name's Matt Nelson. I feel weird. I need friends." It was just that straightforward. And Aaron that night said to me, he goes, "Bro, it's so good to see you." He goes, "Why don't you come with a group of us to, what's the name of the restaurant? Clucks and Fries. Someone help me out. Red Robin." He goes, "Come with me to Red Robin." I was like, "I've never heard of Red Robin, but bro, I'm with you right now." Okay, true story. Why do I tell you this story? Here's why. No lie. I remember the men who were sitting at that table that night at Red Robin. Literally, some of them giants in the faith. These men, some of them stood with me on my wedding day years later. These men, all running for Jesus. These men became business leaders. We're all just 18, 19-year-old kids. But I remember as I'm eating Klutz and Fries and listening to them, it was different than any other group I had ever sat with. They loved Jesus. They were passionate. They were on fire. And there were a couple of them in particular that became really important in my life. But I remember that night I was telling my wife this story because we were chatting about this week. Memories were coming up. And I said, "You know, Laura, I always had a memory after that night. I had this feeling in my heart. I felt as a person, I was lost at sea." That was at 18. I felt that way. And I remember that night at eating Klutz and Fries, feeling like those men grabbed me by the life vest and pulled me onto that boat. And it changed the trajectory of my life forever. So young people, I want to challenge you. You might be in a place in your life right now. You may or may not know it, but you're on the verge of a crucial decision. And that decision is this: do you want common friendships or do you want legacy friendships? Some of you right now, you're going to school every day, you're going to work, and it's good and it's cool, but you know that your life is at stake, your whole legacy is at stake, your marriage is at stake, your children are at stake, that's not even on your mind, but your decision is that close, and you need a legacy group of friends who are going to grab you, and they are going to say, "Come on, we're going to run together with Jesus," and that will change the trajectory of your life. But there's another group I want to talk to for a minute. You guys good? Here it is. I think there are some of you, and I'm kind of thinking about some of my Circuit Rider staff, but I don't know all of you in the room. But in life, you go through stages. I think it's almost easy to do legacy friendship when you're young because you have kind of this fresh, youthful energy and this vigor, and it's all new. So we're passionate, we're on fire. Yes, let's be friends. But for me, what I've seen, when you get about in the late 20s and the early 30s, you start to go through life transitions. And one of the things I saw for me was that after that first wave of legacy friends, because I just thought we're going to be friends forever, we're going to do everything together, we're going to live on a cul-de-sac together, it's all going to be like Disneyland. And life doesn't work that way. Amen? And I remember a little bit later down the road, this is about 10 to 12 years later, my wife and I had met my wife in that community. We had children. I mean, just my whole life today, I know this sounds extreme, but it's not. There is nothing in my life that would be real today had God not taken me over and marched me to the front that night. But then 12 years later, my wife and I had a moment of decision. We felt called to missions. We thought we were going to live our whole life in that community. And the Lord said, "Nope, I'm going to uproot you and move you." And so we joined YWAM. Now, we were excited about our move to YWAM, but I don't know, maybe if you're in that age bracket and you've gone through some life transitions, we had this experience, which was we were excited, but I remembered we felt tired. And I remember my wife and I, we would say, "We're excited about this new season. We know we're obeying God, but we don't really want to start over with friendships again." And I look back and there was this deep temptation to kind of draw back from people and go, "That was great to have legacy friendships in our years, you know, but you know, we met each other and we've kind of got ourselves and our kids. That's probably enough to get us into our destiny." And I remember the Lord confronted us and he said, "Absolutely not. You cannot go forward, Matt and Laura, in your life, and your children cannot go forward if you don't rebuild that legacy friendship group." And I remember feeling like, "Oh, but I miss the friends that we've invested in. I don't want to start over. I don't want to do 10 years again. We've come through so much hard stuff." And the Lord goes, "You must begin again. Sign up again for a legacy friendship." Those of you in your 20s and 30s, some of you, you get married and that changes friendship dynamics. And loneliness comes in and you go, I don't really want to rebuild. Begin again. Some of you have kids and you go, it's great, but we don't get to have clucks and fries every night. And the Lord goes, that's how life works. Begin again. Find a new friend. Does that make sense? Sometimes friends move. God moves them on. And I see a lot of our young staff are going through this is they've got 10 years invested in a relationship. God calls them on and there's a sorrow that hits them. And I'll meet with them. I'll say, what is it? And they'll go, so much is invested in that friend. And I know it's God that called them on and now I'm alone. And I go, you got to begin again. Yeah. And the Lord goes, do it again. Extend your heart. Find that person. Initiate and rebuild. Some of you in those middle 20 to 30s, I think there's some of you in the room that don't know it, but that loneliness is creeping into your life. And the Lord is saying that loneliness will go as soon as you initiate and you begin to rebuild that network. Now, if you're 18 in the room, you're like, thank God I'm not 30 right now. I'm 18. Hey, chuck this lesson in your back pocket and remember this night. Don't ever forget that crazy guy said, one day I'm going to need that. Why? Because your destiny is not a one-year assignment. For you to reach the fullness of your destiny, many of you, is going to be multiple decades, and you have to go the distance. So young people, you're going to need the resilience in your life to go 10 years in. Some things changed. Begin again. Don't forget this night. You guys all right? Third group in the room I want to encourage tonight. I'm just going to put it in my category, which is the older category. Amen, amen, okay? And I don't know if there's many of you out there, but it's easy for us older people to go, oh, praise God, those years are behind me. But I want to ask you this, where are your legacy friends? Sometimes, oh, I got personal all of a sudden. I didn't mean it to be. I'm just telling you, at 45, I've had days where I go, man, where are those legacy friends? And if you thought you were tired at 30, wait till you're at 45, and then you get older. And you so much you see those who are mothers and fathers, and they've really gone through some spiritual battles. The only thing that remains, though, is a little bit of that loneliness. And I want to tell a quick story. Brian, Bren, again, my spiritual father, we were living in this community. And, you know, one of the things, Brian changed my life in many ways, but this was one. When we began to plant here, and Brian was 15 years older than me, but our friendship changed. I had always seen myself as I worked for him. And I will never forget, Brian just said to me one day, he goes, hey, we're done with all that. He goes, we're friends. You're not my employee. You know, it's kind of like Jesus when he says, I no longer call you a servant. I call you a friend. And I remember going, do you want to be my friend? We're friends. And he began to speak to me that way. And it was like Brian was elevating me to be his friend. Well, a few years ago, Brian passed on and went to be with the Lord. And none of us saw that coming. But I remember I had kind of this 40-year-old angst of like, oh, my friend, I don't want to start over. And I felt the Holy Spirit said, hey, Matt, how did you get here? And I said, well, Brian reached down and initiated with me, and he called me a friend. And I'll never forget, the Lord challenged me. He goes, you've got to begin again. Matt, you've got to reach out to everyone who's younger than you. And it's not about them being younger and you being older. It's not about mentors. It's about friendship. And I'll never forget, I'm always indebted to Brian's example to just show me, like, when life changes, you begin again, and you sign up for those legacy friendships. How many of you are in to sign in for a legacy friendship tonight? So here's what I want to do. I want to take a minute, and we're going to go to the scriptures now, and I want to sit in a moment in scripture where we see two friends that seize an opportunity to change their generation forever. And we're just going to look at a few passages. Really quick, I want to define what I mean by legacy friendship. Three qualities. Legacy friendships are built on three qualities. Number one, shared faith. Everyone say shared faith. Shared. Number two, shared risk. Everyone say shared risk. Shared. And number three, say shared obedience. If you want to have legacy friendships that are going to open doorways to your destiny, it's about finding people that you share faith, you share risk, and you share radical obedience with. Look in your Bibles at 1 Samuel chapter 13. And this is a famous story about Jonathan and the armor bearer. Who's ever heard of Jonathan the armor bearer? All right, here we go. So where do we find these kinds of friends? Where do we find legacy friends? Here we go. You find great friendships are born from great crisis or great opportunity, and it all depends on your perspective. 1 Samuel 13 tells us a story about the nation of Israel, and they're in a bad situation. And as we look at this story tonight, just for a few minutes, I really think that there are some powerful parallels for us to where our current generation is at. So as we're going through this story, I want you to be thinking, is this what my generation looks like, and how am I going to respond with my friends? 1 Samuel chapter 13, and look at verse 5 through 7, says this: the Philistines assembled to fight Israel with 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and soldiers as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They went up and camped at Michmash, east of Beth-Aven. When the Israelites saw that their situation was critical and that their army was hard-pressed, they hid in caves and thickets, among the rocks and in pits and cisterns. And some Hebrews even crossed over the Jordan back to the land of Gad and Gilead. Okay, everyone look up here. What is this a picture of? This is a picture of a generation that is in such deep crisis that God's people are literally hiding in holes in the ground. They're so overwhelmed numerically that they've lost all hope, and there is no sense of God moving on their behalf. In other words, the generation has lost all hope. And I think in a lot of ways, that's a picture of many of what our generation feels like. Like, man, you know, it just seems like it's overwhelming right now. The panic, the fear, the anxiety. Are there any other believers? Some of you are going to school or work every day, and you're feeling so alone, and yet your heart is crying out, I want to make an impact for God. And then you look around and you go, I feel all alone. And you need to go, I'm in this situation. How am I going to respond? Look at verse 19 and 22. I'm just skipping through the story here. Verse 19 says, not a blacksmith could be found in the whole land of Israel, because the Philistines had said, otherwise the Hebrews will make swords or spears. Drop down to verse 22. So on the day of the battle, not a soldier with Saul and Jonathan had a sword or a spear in his hand. Only Saul and his son Jonathan had them. What is this a picture of to me? This is a picture of the modern day church being stripped of its power and authority. And the enemy has been working systematically to remove the power of God, the presence of God, and the effectiveness, the sharpness that the body of Christ is designed to work with. And I'm not coming against the church. I love the church. I'm just saying, do any of us ever look around our generation and say, where is the power of the gospels? Where is the Jesus of the gospels? Does that make sense? And I'm not coming against the church. I'm just saying, this is what we kind of look like. And the enemy goes, we've got to take away their power and their authority because they are a threat to us. And I think the enemy has been working for generations to target your generation. And he knows if you have power and if you have authority and if you're operating in who God's called you to be, you're too great of a threat. And we find ourselves in this sense of crisis going, what are we going to do? And I'm saying to you, that's the moment where legacy friendships are born. Remember, the first attribute of legacy friendships is shared faith. What do you see when you look out? Do you see opportunity or do you see overwhelmed? And I'm going to look at this here in a moment, but I think part of that legacy friendship is you're looking for people who see the situation through God's eyes. Who are those friends who go, hey, it's not too difficult. God has a plan. Hey, it's not a problem. God's going to rise up. Hey, God's got something. He's going to break through. And those are the people we need to pull into our life. When a generation feels powerless, God does not wait for the majority. He looks for a few. And we love to say in Circuit Riders, when you've got two people plus God, that is always a majority. Amen. And so God does not need crowds to win your generation. He just needs two who will believe him. Everyone say shared faith. Shared faith. Okay, number two, shared risk. Look at 1 Samuel 14. Someone was with me there. Thank you so much. 1 Samuel 14, verse 1. It says, now a detachment of Philistines had gone out to the pass of Michmash. One day, Jonathan said of Saul, son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side. But he did not tell his father. And then I'm going to look at verse 4 through 7. On each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. One was called Bozez and the other Sina. One cliff stood to the north toward Michmash and the other to the south toward Geba. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Everyone up here, real quick. So we see in this situation, everyone's locked down, no hope. Two guys. One goes, hey, I know you don't even have a sword. I'm the only one with a sword. Does anyone else like me ever go like, I don't even think I have a sword. But you've got one. Good, Jonathan. Right? And Jonathan just goes, this is my view of Jonathan. I think Jonathan just goes, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm tired of living my life this way. I'm ready to step out and live or die. Don't we always sing live or die? Right? We're going to ride. We got to go. And I just think Jonathan goes, I would rather step out for Jesus and lose it all than I would live in this hole in the ground. And so he just looks to one friend and goes, let's cross over. And it's sort of this biblical exploit. They have to climb down a cliff. They have to cross over the valley. I wish we had hours. We talk about the biblical significance of all these and climb up. The Bible tells us that when they get to the top of the other side, there's two of them, one sword, and they're facing 20 guys, 2 on 20. And they have this miraculous victory. God gives them strength and they defeat these 20 guys. And it's this miraculous breakthrough. And I think this is a picture of shared risk. And I'm just encouraging all of you who are saying, I want friendships that leave a legacy. I want friendships that change the world. Then you have to look for friends who go, let's go take a risk. You have to look for friends who go, hey, I don't want to live this way anymore. Let's go over there. Where are we going? I don't know. We're going to figure it out, but we're going to get out of our hole in the ground and we're going to go obey God. And God is, perhaps God will act on our behalf. I just want to highlight a couple of things really quick. And one is this. I love the statement that Jonathan makes when he says, perhaps God will act on our behalf. Why do I love this? Because the word perhaps means there's no guarantees. How many of you have ever said, I would totally obey God. I just need a sign from God. How many of you have said, I would totally go share the gospel. I just need 10 people to look at me and give me a thumbs up right now. Oh, I didn't see 10 people. I got one, but we're missing 9. So you know what? I guess God didn't want it. You know, and like sometimes we say, no, I want to obey God radically, but then we put these crazy barriers in front of God. But what I love is I see in Jonathan the armor bearer, they're so poised to obey that they almost are requiring God to stop them. Like, hey, I'm going over there, and if you don't want us to go, God, you're going to have to make it really clear. And they're leaning forward into their faith. And I love that he says, perhaps God will act on our behalf. And I just love the faith of that statement because you know what? The kingdom is not always about guarantees. If you're waiting to obey God or do something for your generation and you need a guarantee, you might be waiting a long time. But your legacy is often on the other side of just saying, hey, let's step out. Nothing can hinder God from saving, whether by many or by few. He just tells his buddy, dude, I don't know how it's going to work out, but let's go. And I think that that faith is in all of you, but you've got to find friends who share that faith with you. And then I love the response of the armor bearer is the armor bearer just, and it's a famous line. He just looks at me and goes, do whatever's in your heart. I'm with you heart and soul. How many of you want a friend that every time you have a bad idea, they just go, dude, I'm with you heart and soul. Just go, you know? And I love that attribute that the armor bearer is not like, dude, I don't have a sword. What are you talking about? Or dude, this is crazy. I just love, he goes, I'm with you. Let's go. Boom. They go. They step out of their holes and they have a dramatic victory. You guys with me? Question number 3. What can God do with two people who step out in faith? And that third attribute of legacy friendships is shared obedience. Shared obedience. And let's look at a passage here. 1 Samuel 14. I think it is, sorry. Yep. Verse 11. Verse 11, and I'm just going to read a little bit of a section here, but I want you just to get a hold on this. Verse 11 through 23 says, so both men went out, they showed themselves, And I'll skip ahead here. But basically the enemy says, come on up here. And so Jonathan takes that as his sign from God, which is a whole crazy thing anyways. But he just goes, that's it. We're going. Armor bearer's like, I'm with you, dude. Boom. So they climb down. They climb up, right? And they have this victory. Verse 14, it says, in that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area about half an acre. Verse 15. Now this is the deal. What can God do through two people who will obey him courageously? Verse 15. Then panic struck the whole army. God's helping. Everyone look up here. How many of you have ever said, God, I'll act boldly, but I need you to act first? And the Lord goes, how about this? You act boldly and then I'll act. And then you go, no, you act boldly. And some of you right now in the room, you're in a wrestling match with God. We are saying, I want legacy friendship and I want to radically obey, but I need you to do something miraculously. And the Lord goes, I tell you what, I have a legacy friendship for you, but you got to get out of your hole and do something crazy. And then I'll respond to your obedience. Then panic struck the whole army. Those in the camp and the field and those in the outposts and the raiding parties, and the ground shook. It was a panic sent by God. Some of you are looking at your generation and you're going, how's God going to do this? And God is saying to you, dude, I do not have a movement problem. I can make things happen. What I do have is I have a shortage of people willing to step out and obey. And the Lord goes, if you move, I'll create movement. He's saying, will you go? Will you go? Some of you in the room are going, I feel like I'm waiting on God. You know what I've learned the older I get? Rarely am I waiting on God. God's usually waiting on me. And he's going, I've got tricks up my sleeve, dude. I can solve your generation, but I want you to go and partner with me. The ground begins to shake. And basically, I'm going to summarize this, but God creates this supernatural turnaround. The army of the Philistines turns on itself. And what begins to happen is all the Israelites, like all of our generation who are believers but too afraid to act, they see the courage of two. They see the supernatural miracle. And the Bible says they come out of their holes and they go, dude, let's join the fight. Some of us in the room go, I want to be a part of a Jesus movement. And the Lord goes, step out. And I go, how about this? You have somebody else step out and I'll join in. The Lord goes, no, I'm asking you to step out. Everyone say, I'm going to step out. So they join in. And then the Bible tells us even the Israelites who had joined the Philistines, which is a picture of backslidden believers, it says even they come back and rejoin the people of God. And the Bible loves this phrase. It says all of Israel went into hot pursuit of the enemy and they surged on the enemy, had this miraculous breakthrough. So my question is, what can God do through obedience? God multiplies the courage of two people into a victory for a nation. Never underestimate two friends with faith, risk, and obedience, what God can do in response to that. All right, how are we doing? All right, I'm going to shift gears and we're going to bring this in for a landing. I think that there's a wisdom piece to legacy friendships. And so I'm just going to kind of give what I feel is a little bit like a dad heart word of wisdom. Because with all the pump up speech, there are some wisdom pieces that kind of go into this. So I'm just going to express my heart to you like a dad, like I would talk to my sons. Does that sound good? Here's some wisdom pieces. Number one, you need to say yes to deep friendships, but no friendship can replace Jesus in your life. A lot of times what I see is young people, they go, I want legacy friendship. And they make the mistake that if they're around people who love Jesus, it's the same as loving Jesus. And I'm telling you, you can have friends who are on fire for God and that will have no effect on you. But if you want to have legacy friendships, you first have to have a legacy friendship with Jesus. And you need a legacy friendship with Jesus and legacy friends. And don't ever make the mistake that people replace that place for Christ in your life. It really is the both of those that are key to your future. And people can never replace what Christ is meant to be. Number two, wisdom piece. Legacy friendships must be tested by fire and adversity. Why? Because the purpose of the legacy friendship is history. And if your friendship can't endure a little disagreement, how in the world is it going to change a generation? But I see this a lot in young people is they actually get a legacy friend. It starts to pick up steam and they have a little squabble. And next thing you know, they're not friends anymore. And I go, man, I thought we were in this to change the generation. Well, I was, but they just didn't say hi to me. Well, then that's not a legacy friendship, friend. If I am so needy for a legacy friend to say and do everything right, we have no hope of changing our generation. And so and this is a mistake I see a lot of people make, is they get into a friendship. They go, man, I feel this has that David Jonathan quality, but then they just start to grow apart. And instead of fighting for it, they just go, oh, it's not that. It must not be God. I'm moving on. And I go, no, don't move on. That's the legacy friend. God wants to see, will you fight for it? He's testing it, because what's coming for that friendship is so intense that your friendship has to be able to survive that fight. So what I'm saying is, when you get into a legacy friendship that has those qualities and it gets tested, don't be surprised by that and run away. Look to your friend and go, oh, God's testing us. There must really be destiny on the other side. Number three, wisdom piece. Nobody is perfect. I'm just going to let that sit for a second. A lot of young people go, I found my legacy friend. 2 days later, they're not a legacy friend. Why not? They don't do this. And I go like, what are you looking at? Are you expecting Jesus to come down in the flesh and be your legacy friend? Have you looked in the mirror lately? You're not perfect either. It's called love. Everyone say love. Nobody's perfect. You will have to choose forgiveness. Everyone say forgive. And learn to give people the benefit of the doubt. Of legacy friendships, avoid the trap of offense and unforgiveness. I'm going to be really honest with you. I have seen offense and unforgiveness destroy more legacy friendships than I could ever hope. So many where I go, man, this is a special friend. 10 years later, how's Johnny? Don't know. Haven't talked to him in 8 years. What happened? I don't know. We just grew apart. You got to fight for that. The trap of offense and unforgiveness. Number four. Sooner or later, you will have to choose to run with like-minded people. And this is that equally yoked principle. Equally yoked is only ever talked about either in dating or marriage. I just want you to know that's such a shallow interpretation of that passage. Equally yoked in all of your friendships. You have to find people who share passion, who share vision, who share fire for God. And that was that moment for me in Tacoma at 18. I walked in that room and I wouldn't have had that language, but I went, oh, these are my people. They want a Jesus movement. This is who I'm locking in with. You have to choose who you're going to run with. Young people, some of you in the room, you have opportunities to walk into deep friendship with people that in truth, they're going to draw you away from your destiny, not propel you to your destiny. And I want to love you enough to tell you that won't work. And it will take courage at some point to just go, I love you. I'll circle back when I have a legacy friend and win you. But missionary friendship isn't working right now. You're winning me to the wrong team. So you have to have the courage to go, this isn't getting me towards my destiny. It's getting me further. Where are those legacy friends? Next wisdom piece. I told you I'm just going dad mode on you right now. I just thought about conversations I've had with my sons, and I'm like, there's really some keys that make it work. Not everyone wants legacy friendship. And this is tough, because sometimes we set our hearts and like, man, you're such a bro. I want to run with you. And sometimes the bro's like, I think you're cool. And you're like, whoa, I thought we were going to be like accountability bros and like go hard after God. And he was like, well, I don't know. Let's get ice cream 6 months from now. And you're like, and I see this as sometimes that desire for that David Jonathan or that Ruth Naomi, it's not reciprocated, and you let the hurt of that moment turn your heart off. You just go, oh, man. So here's something I always say to people. Not everyone wants legacy friendship, and everyone gets a choice. Don't take up offense or rejection if someone does not want to run as hard as you do. Keep your heart tender. Keep your heart open. Okay, next wisdom piece. Stay with me. I love you in Christ. Here it is. You are not always the main character in God's story. You guys all right? It's great if you bring what we call in our family main character energy, but I'm just telling you the truth. If you want legacy friendships, it ain't always about you. And this throws a lot of people off in the legacy friendship piece. Here's why. is when they hear Jonathan and the armor bearer, human nature is to go, man, I would make a great Jonathan. I'm going to look for my armor bearer. And I just want you to know that that's completely a wrong interpretation of the story. And I'm going to get to that in a moment. But the question is, sometimes maybe you're the armor bearer, sometimes you're Jonathan. Are you willing to lead and willing to follow, or do you always need to be the main character in God's destiny story? If you always need to be that main character, that's a quick road to nowhere. The story's not about are you number one and who's your number two. It's about I get to be on the team. And some days you're going to have the idea and other days you're going, I'm with you, go. And you're reciprocating that. But don't get caught up in the lie that you've got to be the main one. And then final wisdom piece is this. God designs your destiny that you cannot do it alone. You're going to need that help. All right, we're going to bring this out for a close, but worship team can come back on up. I just want to close with this. There are five things that I think are hindering us from moving toward legacy friendship. How many of you tonight are saying, man, I want for the rest of my life to lock in with legacy friends and run hard with people? Raise a hand really high. So I'm going to give you five things that I think are really normal and they're hindering us from running into these. Number one is this, is a fear of being honest and vulnerable and known for who we really are. And I see this a lot as people say, I want a David and Jonathan. But when they walk in the room, they're so afraid to put their heart on the sleeve that they just play it cool and look like a weirdo the whole time. And so the other David and Jonathans are like, well, I'm scanning. I don't see that passion. And one of the things I had to learn was like, man, if I want to be on fire for God, put it out there. Put it out there. Because that other David Jonathan, that other Ruth Naomi is going to go, hey, I resonate with that fire. And we're going to bond over what God can do in our generation. So a fear of being honest and vulnerable and sharing the fullness of who you are. So many young people, you're dulling your personality because, and I have people say this to me all the time. They go, Matt, what if I bring everything and I'm too much? Has anyone ever been afraid you're too much? Maybe some of you have been told you're too much. So you're trying to play it cool. It's like warming up on a first date. Here's the problem I learned. If you start the first date in warm-up mode, you'll never get out. Because every time you're together, you're like, can I be real now? Can I be real now? And every day you're just like, no, let's just get a little bit more friendship. And then I'll bring my heart out, but then I never do. Fear. Number two is choosing comfort and convenience over the work of learning to relate to people. Everyone look up here. Your phone will not help you with a legacy friendship. I wish it would. ChatGPT, kind of helpful, but not really. Because at some point, if you want a legacy friendship, you have to turn the screen down and you have to look at a person and go, I have to learn to talk to another person. I'm around groups sometimes and I'm like, man, we got to just work on some social skills right now. And just like, hi, what's your name? My name is this. We're talking about changing a generation with legacy friendship and we don't know how to say, hi, how are you? And listen, does that make sense? So we're going to have to put the work in to learn to relate and care for people. Number three, man, this is a big one and it's huge. And stay with me. We're almost there. We're bringing it down. Is upgrade culture. We live in a disposable society. Every year you get a new phone, every whatever, you turn your car in and get a new deal. I want new clothes. Here was the mistake I made as a young man. I believed the lie that if you had a legacy friend and it didn't work out, don't worry, there's another one around the corner. And there's not. They don't grow on trees. It took me years to realize when God gives you a legacy friend, man, it's a miracle provision and you fight for that because you don't know. I've had seasons of my life where I'm like, God, send me a David or Jonathan. The Lord goes, I did. You didn't value it. There's another one coming, but when this one comes, I want your eyes and your heart open and value them. I remember being so far into my friendship with Brian, and we just had a moment. I looked at him and said, bro, we are so far in. I go, I never want to start over again. I love you. He's like, I love you. And none of us are perfect, but you're just bonding and you're going, they don't grow on trees. They're not everywhere. Don't take your friends for granted. Fight for them. You can't upgrade them like you can your phone. Number four is self-focus. Self-focus, we have to get our eyes off of us. And number five, I would say this, is selfish ambition. And I've kind of hit on that, but moving from the me to the we is to go, man, I'm looking for friends that we get to do the kingdom together. I have to just tell you, and I'll bring it down, we'll say amen, is I have some of the most incredible friends in my life, and we get to do the most amazing things for God. And I'm telling you, absolutely with conviction, without them, I would be nowhere near what we get to do on a daily basis. They are the secret. I've also learned this, that when you have friends like that and you get to do fun stuff, the joy is your friends, not the exploits. It's not what you get to do. Why? Because when you go home from the exploit, you're tired, but you look across and you go, man, Nick, I get to do this with you. Zach, I get to do this with you. So many brothers and sisters. And you go, we're in this. And you realize that passage in 2 Corinthians, it says that we have these treasure in jars of clay, that God's deposited treasure in each of us, and that you're the prize, not your destiny. The destiny's just the avenue. You are the prize. Are you willing to fight for those legacy friendships? I want everyone to bow your heads, and we're gonna have a moment of response here to this tonight. And you can sit in your seat, you can stand up, you can get on your knees, whatever you wanna do, but I just wanna have a moment of response. I think there are a few responses in the room. Number one is this. I think for those in the room who are desperately longing for these legacy friendships, but you're afraid, the Lord is saying to you tonight, you need to sign up to take initiative and be bold. That those friendships might not chase you down. You might have to chase them down. And you've got to be willing to step out and go, man, I'll run after it. Where are we gathering? What are we doing? There's a bold initiation tonight. If you feel like you're locked down in that fear, I want you to raise your hand. Raise your hand really high. If you've got fear and you just go, man, I want it, but I'm afraid, I'm gonna pray for you. Lord, I just pray for every hand that's just filled with fear right now, that you would embolden them to take the initiative and seek out those kingdom friendships that they're intended to run into their destiny with, in Jesus' name. Number two, I think there's some of you in the room that feel like you've taken initiative and the friendship didn't go well and you're hurt. And you want that legacy friendship, but you're afraid to initiate again. And I just want to, first of all, just tell you the Lord's going to heal your heart tonight. But you have to have courage to extend your heart again, extend your heart again, extend your heart again, because you have such an incredible destiny and the enemy is betting that you will quit short of your destiny because you just go, I don't want to be hurt again. And the Lord goes, press through that pain, initiate again. If you're in the room and you're feeling like, man, I have such a story of pain and rejection and betrayal from friendships and you're afraid, raise your hand. Raise your hand high. Father, we just pray for healing in this room for everyone who's felt rejected or overlooked or betrayed or unseen. And they're pulling back. Lord, I pray that you would heal their heart in a miracle way tonight. And you would restore hope that there are legacy friendships for them. And then lastly is this. Anyone in the room who's feeling tired. Like, man, I just don't know that I want to press in. And you're tempted to pull back. But you know that that loneliness is setting in your life. I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. Father, I just pray for every hand that's up right now. And that loneliness is creeping in. And Lord, they are tired. They don't want to initiate. God, renew them. Give them fresh strength and fresh energy, God, to have eyes to see the opportunity of the generation, to find those legacy friends, to boldly and courageously run forward. Here's the last prayer I want to pray tonight is this. In this story, Jonathan is not the hero. He simply points us in the right direction. The hero of the story is Jesus. Jesus is the true and the greater Jonathan. And as you're tonight, we're going out, I just want to say that really at the end of the day, we all get to be the armor bearer to Jesus. Jonathan crossed over to the enemy. Jesus crossed over into our world. Jonathan left relative safety. Jesus left the glory of heaven. Jonathan fought the enemy with courage. Jesus fought sin, death, hell, and the grave, and he won. Jonathan said, come, let's go over there. And Jesus is saying to you tonight, follow me. Jesus is the ultimate initiator. And just tonight, if you want this legacy friendship, it begins with Jesus as the ultimate legacy friend. And he's inviting you not into serving him, but into partnering with him as a friend. If tonight you're in the room and you feel you've never known real friendship with Jesus, I want you to raise your hand. And Jesus is inviting you into that. Thank you. Father, I just pray for those hands, for that invitation to you, to not be near you, but to be in you and to be connected with you. And Jesus, we pray that tonight they would feel the embrace, Jesus, of you, our hero, leading us into our destiny, in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.